thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, March 30th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mklanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Opposition parties have scoffed at remarks by President Robert Mugabe that Zimbabweans will be angry should he be asked to step down as the president.
I think he just stated the obvious there, pretty much, because, you were given an over 63% mandate by the people of Zimbabwe, meaning over 63% of the electorate chose him.
Zimbabwean farmers expressed dismay over new payment methods as the tobacco selling season starts.
This deal is not good to us because at our local villages we don't have banks.
A young Zimbabwean attends a top technology workshop in United States' famous Silicon Valley.
I'm here for RightsCon, a summit series that convened every year that brings together different speakers from around the world to talk about the future of the internet and how that affects different human rights.
And a strike by National Railways of Zimbabwe workers cripples the state-owned company.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Opposition parties have scoffed at remarks by President Robert Mugabe that Zimbabweans will be angry should he be asked to step down as the president. Mr. Mugabe, who's on a five-day state visit to Japan, also told the East Asian country's media that if he is healthy, he'll contest the 2018 presidential election, though he will be 94. President Mugabe, whose country is subject to sanctions imposed by the United States and European countries over alleged human rights abuses, is visiting Japan for the fourth time as president and holding his third meeting with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe.
In talking about his ideal successor, President Mugabe said that person must be a good leader all the time and should be people-oriented. George Mukwananzi, the People's Democratic Party deputy spokesman, says Mr. Mugabe must step down, as no one, even in his own ruling ZANU-PF, wants him to continue at the helm. ZANU-PF chairman for the UK province, Nick Mangwana, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Mr. Mugabe is right.
I think he just stated the obvious there, pretty much, because, you were given an over 63% mandate by the people of Zimbabwe, meaning over 63% of the electorate chose him. That mandate was 5 years. He has done only three of those. So just going by those, forget about the Afrobarometer surveys, but just going by that, he's stating the obvious. And then obviously when it comes to ZANU-PF, he was given another mandate in 2014 by every province. So which is 100%, 10 out of 10 provinces. So going by that again, he's saying that he's just stating the obvious.
But the opposition is coughing at that, saying Mr. Mugabe is old and is no longer fit for purpose.
For how long shall we repeat that when President Mugabe was voted the next president of Zimbabwe for a five-year term, he was 89 years old. Everybody in Zimbabwe knew that. His age is never a secret. It's celebrated every year with the age written on the cake and everywhere else. Happy 89 years, Kushungo. Everybody knew he was 89, and he got that mandate. So to come back and say he's an old man, aren't we being silly here? Because with our literacy rate, which is so high, everybody knew what 89 meant. Everybody knew what 5 years meant. So in 2013 plus five until 2018, that's what it is. People should not act as if they have just learned that, oh, that old man is actually 92 now. No, people knew. So this is coughing or whatever. They might scoff until they scoff something else. But the point still remains. There is a mandate there. by people who knew. If people want to blame anybody, they should not blame the president. They should blame themselves because they are the ones that voted. That's our comment on that.
That was Nick Mangwana, ZANU-PF chairman for the UK province, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from London.
Reacting, MDCT spokesman Obed Gudu says Mr. Mugabe must step down as he is now a liability to the nation.
It would appear President Robert Mugabe doesn't seem to appreciate that the majority of Zimbabweans have had enough of his misrule and misgovernance. If anything, Mugabe has actually overstayed his welcome as the head of state in Zimbabwe. He certainly needs to take a rest. That is the position of the majority of Zimbabweans out there, including, fortunately, the majority of his own ZANU-PF party members. President Mugabe surely needs to rest after he has devoted more than 50 years of his life in active politics. And in the MDC, we say that Mr. Mugabe, as everyone can see, is no longer a young and an energetic man. It's quite apparent that he has difficulty even in walking. It is apparent that with his frequent visits to Singapore, presumably for medical attention, he is not in the best form, that is, in the best form of health. It's also quite possible that he might be under the mistaken impression that because there are a few ZANU-PF sycophants, if I may call them that, who might be misleading him into believing that the people of Zimbabwe still want him to hang on as president. It therefore means the majority of the people of Zimbabwe still want him to hold on to office as the head of state. Unfortunately for President Mugabe, the cold, hard fact, the brutal truth, Blessing, is that the majority of Zimbabweans are actually convinced that Mugabe is way past his sell-by date and that he's no longer fit for purpose.
But Mr. Mugabe says he was voted into office overwhelmingly by Zimbabweans, therefore he says he's popular.
This has been his return excuse, Blessing. You know that each time that he's asked that question to say, President Mugabe, at the age of 92, you're no longer a young man. Why don't you consider stepping down? He's quick to say, but I was voted into office. Whereas he knows in his heart of hearts that the election of July 31, 2013 was a farce.
That was Obed Gudu, MDCT spokesman, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
For an analysis, Studio 7 also reached Dr. Pedzisai Ruhanya, director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, who says Zimbabweans will actually celebrate if Mr. Mugabe steps down.
Those close to him who are benefiting from his misrule, surely they will cry. But if we take a Zimbabwean who lives in Cholocho, who lost a relative during Gugurahundi, who is losing relatives again due to hunger, who sends their children to school, to university, but cannot find jobs, surely these people will say, please, Mr. President, can you stay in Japan?
Mr. Mugabe is also indicating that he wants to contest in the 2018 presidential elections, his health permitting. What is your take on this, judging from the fact that Mr. Mugabe is 92 this year?
Mugabe is mortal. He is born of women. And if you agree, and as the facts present, that he is born of women and that he is mortal, you know, nature may ruin his unbridled and unquenchable thirst for power. It may be his dream, but that may not be the dream of nature. At 92, the president is old enough not to be associated with the critical issues of running a modern economy, particularly a modern economy that we envisage in a context where there is monumental informalization of the economy, where everyone, the majority of people, have been turned into vendors.
In referring to a possible successor, Mr. Mugabe used the word he. Must we read anything into this?
We cannot read anything into that. But most importantly, Mugabe will not be succeeded by anyone according to his plan. Mugabe will be succeeded by head for the what I call succession brigade, where Mugabe will not even know who will be the successor in Zanu because he will have died. Mugabe wants to die in office.
That was Dr. Pedzisai Ruhanya, director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The 2016 tobacco selling season officially opened today, with some farmers complaining about the new payment system in which farmers are expected to receive payment through banks instead of receiving cash at the auction floors. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera has the details from Harare.
Some of the farmers told Studio 7 at the tobacco auction floors that the new payment system would inconvenience them as they usually want to buy agricultural inputs once they sell their crop. Philip Jalamu of Shamba said, to make matters worse, there are no banks in most farming areas.
This deal is not good to us because at our local villages we don't have banks, so we need to buy our things quickly and then go home.
Young farmer Enia Godza of Mount Darwin said the new payment system is not good.
That's not good because we want to buy things here in town.
Others, however, felt that the payment system would protect the farmers from criminals and unscrupulous dealers who used to rob some of them at auction floors. Agriculture Minister Joseph Made said he expected the new system to satisfy the farmers.
I hope there will be a balance between the expectations of the farmers and the system that will now come in, that the farmers will be paid through the new banking structure. We must listen to the farmers to see how the system will be working.
The new system, which is being introduced this season by the Tobacco Industries Marketing Board, is meant to decongest auction floors. The highest price at the auction floors was $4.50 per kilogram, while the least was 50 cents per kilogram. Some farmers like Javamu said the price was good, while Made noted that farmers expected the prices to go up so that they get a just reward for their efforts. Last season, the open selling price was $3.50 per kilogram. Tobacco Industries Marketing Board Chairperson Monica Chinamasa said 72,000 farmers had registered to sell tobacco this season compared to 91,000 in the previous season. Three auction floors, Tobacco Sales Floor, Boka Tobacco Floors, and Premier Tobacco Auction Floor, and 16 contractors were licensed to buy tobacco this season. Tobacco earned about $900 million from the sale of 152 million kilograms, but production went down by 20% this year. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
A Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders, or YALI alumni, is in San Francisco, Silicon Valley, sharing his ideas about the internet and how it affects basic human rights at a three-day technology conference which started today. Munyarazi Dodo, the founder of TV Yangu, is attending the RightsCon Tech Conference being run by Access Now. Dodo tells Studio 7 he'll be presenting a paper at a YALI-sponsored segment focusing on internet usage in Zimbabwe and other African countries.
I'm here for RightsCon, a summit series that's convened every year that brings together different speakers from around the world to talk about the future of the internet and how that affects different human rights. As you know, technology is changing rapidly and human rights have to evolve with each new technology that gets invented. So we're here to discuss about that. So you have different speakers from around the world coming together for this.
Are you the only representative from Zimbabwe, and are you going to be having any presentations at this conference?
I'm not the only representative from Zimbabwe. There's also a lady, Zimbabwean, based in South Africa, but I am the only one who I know of who is coming straight from Zimbabwe. We're going to be having a series of panel discussions. There's over 250 sessions that are happening. I'm going to be on two of them. My session is on African innovation and zero rating. I'm going to be on that panel with Rainsford Owusu from Ghana, who is the co-founder of the Bisa app, and Sherry Tumsime from Uganda, who is the CEO of Zimba women in Uganda. So we're going to be talking about the effects of zero rating, the pros and cons, what governments can do, what telecoms companies can do, what people can do, and be giving recommendations based on our experience in running startups in Africa and giving ideas and sharing ideas and experiences generally.
That was the founder of TV Yangu, Munyaradzi Dodo, speaking with Studio 7 from San Francisco, Silicon Valley in California, here in the United States.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 meter wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up
this evening on our Diaspora Forum, we are featuring Fanuel Chirombo, who's shipping books to Zimbabwe from the U.S.
And a strike cripples the National Railways of Zimbabwe.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The Episcopal Conference of Zambia has called on all political parties and their presidential candidates to take steps to curb politically motivated violence ahead of the country's August 11 presidential elections.
Myanmar has sworn in its first civilian head of state in more than five decades. 74-year-old Hinyao took the oath of office Wednesday during a brief ceremony.
A court in Cyprus ordered a man suspected of hijacking an Egyptian flight and diverting it to the island nation remanded in custody for 8 days pending an investigation.
Over 5,000 jihadists from the Central Asian countries are fighting in the ranks of the Islamic State group in the Middle East.
The three remaining Republican presidential candidates, businessman mogul Donald Trump, Texas Senator Ted Cruz and Ohio Governor John Kasich, agreed yesterday on the need to defeat the Islamic State group, but they backtracked on their support for each other.
And a Minnesota company has designed a gun that can be folded up to look like a smartphone. The gun, which is made by Ideal Conceal, has two barrels and can be folded to look like a mobile phone.
Many Zimbabweans normally struggle to adjust to the new environment when they decide to live in various nations. Fanuel Chirombo is among people who encountered some cultural shock when he decided to live in Baltimore, Maryland, United States. Chirombo was born in Mushawashawa near Muchakata Business Center in Masvingo Province. He did his primary education at Murambwe Primary School and his secondary education in the same province. Chirombo says when he went to America, armed with his Zimbabwean education, he thought he could just easily fit in into the American system, but was disappointed to learn that the country valued his qualifications more than any other nation's diplomas and degrees.
Chirombo then decided to upgrade his qualifications by doing two master's degrees. He's now studying for a PhD. Chirombo is working as a librarian at the University of Maryland. He did not forget his roots after finally settling well in Maryland as he started sourcing books and soccer uniforms to Murambwe School. Tomorrow, a consignment of more than 500 books sourced from Salisbury University in Maryland is leaving for Zimbabwe, headed for Midlands State University. Chirombo tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that his belief in education is the main reason why he's trying to equip Zimbabwean schools with books.
If I look back when I came to America some 11 years ago, things were really tough. But, you know, I've been waking myself up the American system and things are beginning to loosen up. I can see a bright future. I'm still working hard. I'm trying to advance myself. But I think things are okay for me and my family. When I left Zimbabwe, I was already a librarian, you know. But when I came to America, I mean, they didn't accept my qualifications because there are different qualifications in America. So I had to start from scratch. I had to go back to school, studied for a master's in labor science, and started for a master's management degree, and then I got a job as a librarian at a university. So that's what I mean when I say you need to work hard. You need to identify the weaknesses or the challenges that work against your progression within the system, and then you try to address those challenges. I thought education was the right intervention tool for me to ensure that I progress within the American society, and that's what I'm doing right now.
I understand Mr. Chirombo is still studying. What exactly are you studying for, and why continue amassing degrees?
Amassing degrees, you know, education does not end. I consider myself a lifelong learner. I believe in continuing education because things keep on changing. And right now I'm studying for a PhD in organizational leadership. It prepares me for leadership positions in organizations, in symbol. It's not really that I want to keep on amassing these degrees, but I see changes within the system. You know, they keep on requiring new knowledge and skills, so I have to adapt to the new knowledge and skills by continuing with education.
Some of the Zimbabweans who are in the diaspora tend to forget that old adage, "Ziwako wakabva," remember where you came from. What is Mr. Chirombo doing with regards to this?
Oh, man. You know, I grew up in Mafshingo, in the rural areas. I went to Murambwe School, its name Mchakata Growth Point. You know, I'm still that person, you know. They say what SRIB, from rural background. And I'm still the same person. I consider people back home as my people. These are my buddies. These are the people I grew up with. These are the people who made me. These are part of my identity. And so that's where I belong. I just feel like I just need to help them. I want them to be like me. I don't want people to go through the struggles I went through when I was growing up. So it's always about home. It's always about the people back home. Zimbabwe is the center of my heart.
What are you doing for those people back home and the Zimbabweans here in America?
Tomorrow, I'm shipping a consignment of books to Midland State University. They're coming from Salisbury University. You know, I went there and I solicited for books that I felt can meet the needs of Zimbabwean students at Midland State University. So that's a project I'm working on right now. In America, I was a founding member of the Zimbabwe Family Society. It's a society that is geared at promoting the Zimbabwean culture, preserving our own language in America, and creating social groups among Zimbabweans so that we exist with an identity in America. People are different. We have a great number of people who really appreciate that they are Zimbabweans, people who are really proud of being Zimbabweans. And actually, that's our role. We need to impart, you know, that pride into people, let them feel that they would value Zimbabweans. We have people who miss home. They haven't been home for a very long time, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And, you know, our gatherings, they make them happy. They are proud of such gatherings. What they like, they feel, oh, we still have an identity as Zimbabweans. But I don't expect all Zimbabweans to come because people are different.
That was Zimbabwean Fanio Chirombo on the line from Baltimore in Maryland State in the United States with the reporter Junga Kande Miri. Tomorrow on Studio 7, we'll feature Chimurenga music guru Thomas Mafumo, who says it's time for young people to rule Zimbabwe.
You need new blood in Zimbabwe. It's time for the young generation to rule. You understand? Yeah. To overcome our problems, the young generation should take over. They've got new ideas. They've been to school. They know a lot of things. I think that's the problem that we have today, because we have these old people. They are clinging to power. They don't want to get out of power. And most of us are corrupt. Africa is full of corrupt leaders. We don't want to hear about ZANU-PF. There has to be another revolution.
But ZANU-PF's Nick Mangwana says Mafumo should shut up.
For him to sit there in wherever he lives and start saying things that Zimbabwe needs a revolution or they need the war and whatever, is reckless. Whose child does he want to go to war? To kill whose child as well? He wants other Zimbabweans, to kill other Zimbabweans. That's proper recklessness. He's an irresponsible old man. He should concentrate on playing his xylophones and mbiras, not to trade in those dangerous waters, not to actually be so reckless. I think he should just shut up. He should stick to the folk stuff. Then people would appreciate him.
Don't miss that important and very interesting discussion here on Studio 7 tomorrow. Workers of the National Railways of Zimbabwe who are demanding outstanding salaries backdating to 2015 continue with their industrial action, which started yesterday. Kamurai Moyo, president of the Zimbabwe Amalgamated Railway Workers Union, says the strike has affected operations in Harare, Mutare, Gweru and Bulawayo. He says workers are owed more than $68 million. Studio 7 failed to get comment from NRZ management. Moyo speaks with reporter Jonga Kantemiri about the industrial action.
If the strike is there and what is being reported, I think it has been long overdue. Because honestly, you cannot expect employees to come to work on empty tummies. Employees who are renting houses where they stay, who have not been paying rentals from January up to today, employees who have not been paid transport allowance or being provided with the transport and expected to come to work and be productive. Surely, in all fairness, those employees have got the right to demonstrate, they've got the right to show their anger.
Which sectors are affected?
For non-payment of salaries, it's all the entire system. The entire system, employees in all departments, in all sub-grades, have not accessed their salaries.
But we understand that some employees in other cities are still reporting for duty. Which cities can you say have workers who have downed tools?
It is a bit, for now, it may be very difficult for me to say which city or which group of employees. But what I'm getting from the report that I got from the railways is those employees in Harare who have screamed on TV tonight, those employees in Gweru, and part of employees in Bulawayo and Mutare, the four major cities, have been affected.
Are there any efforts to sit down with the authorities to make sure that things are back to normal?
Unfortunately, we have tried all what we could do as an in-house issue. We have gone to the permanent secretary. Instead, we started with management. And we went to the permanent secretary, we went to the minister, and we went to the vice president. And luckily, as late as last year, this year in January, the minister got to give us an assurance that by March, some of it is going to be realized. Because he's a new minister, when he came into office, he made a lot of promises. The promises that we thought by now, we should be talking about salaries. But unfortunately, we are still talking about the salaries. Instead of realizing the positives, we are even realizing more negatives than positives.
So how many employees can you say are on strike at the moment?
That the number, we can't tell the number.
That was Kamurai Moyo, president of the Zimbabwe Amalgamated Railway Workers Union, on the phone from Bulawayo with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about President Mugabe's remarks that he is not to blame for the ruling for almost 36 years. If you wish to join the show, call us at 001-202-619-2077. The number again, 001-202-619-2077.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
Opposition parties have scoffed at remarks by President Robert Mugabe that Zimbabweans will be angry should he be asked to stand down as president.
Zimbabwean farmers express dismay over new payment methods as the tobacco selling season starts.
A Zimbabwean attends a top technology workshop in the U.S.'s famous Silicon Valley.
And a strike by National Railways of Zimbabwe workers cripples the state-owned company.
That's our broadcast this evening. Please stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with yours truly, Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.